Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Ralph Nader's new book has been endorsed by a wide range of activists, including Patti Smith and Cornel West on the left, and Grover Norquist, anti-tax advocate, and Ron Unz, former publisher of the American Conservative, on the right. Ralph Nader's new book is called Unstoppable, The Emerging Left-Right Alliance to Dismantle the Corporate State. And in it, he argues that many major changes can be accomplished in areas where self-described liberals, conservatives, libertarians, and progressives all agree on the goal, not because they are pushed to these stands by pressure groups, but because they feel it is the right thing to do. Ralph Nader's 25 proposals in his book include requiring an annual Department of Defense budget audit, ending corporate welfare and bailouts, promoting efficiency in government contracting and spending, and adjusting the minimum wage to inflation, which all sounds great. But how do we do it given the political gridlock and massive corporate spending that makes it incredibly difficult to get anything passed? Today, we are joined by Ralph Nader, an author, lecturer, attorney, and political activist. His latest book is Unstoppable. Hi, Ralph Nader. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Great to have you. So you have been a tireless activist and advocate for decades. You know how this machine works, and I know that you're a huge proponent of a minimum wage increase. And just recently, Senate Republicans blocked the bill. It would have raised the wage from $7.25 to $10.10 an hour and tie it to inflation. So given the realities that we're facing, why do you think now is the time for a left-right alliance?
Because it's worked in the past. It's worked to block the Clinch River Breeder Reactor in 1983 against the corporate lobbyists and Ronald Reagan. It worked 3 years later for the False Claims Act to be enacted by Senator Republican Chuck Grassley from Iowa and Howard Berman, Democrat from California. And it worked last year on the Whistleblowers Act. It was vigorously opposed by the corporate lobbyists, and they lost. And it almost worked last year in the House when, defying both Boehner and Pelosi, liberals and conservatives voted to stop the NSA from dragnet snooping. They just missed winning by about 7 votes. So we have a good past record. On the minimum wage, that comes in 70 to 80% support, you know, to go up past to go to 1050 or so.
Right.
And that's what it is in San Francisco now. You know, when you get a poll like that, you know that there's a liberal conservative consensus on that. You can't get 70, 80% of the people without that. And so the question is, if we have these liberal, conservative, or left-right consensus and agreement verbally on Main Street against Wall Street, cracking down on corporate crime, revising the trade agreements that shred our sovereignty and reduce jobs, NAFTA, WTO, and other issues which we'll talk about, how do you move them from verbal agreement into media recognition, into getting it on the table of the politicians who are in the incumbents and at election time? That's the challenge. And we have good ideas in my book, Unstoppable, about how to do that. One is just whenever you see an issue that you think is outrageous, just contact your member of Congress. And when they see a flurry coming left-right, it means all the difference in the world to them. They're scared to hell of that. Mm. Because they know that that's a majority and it's unstoppable. So when they just see the left do it or the right, then they can maneuver, you know, between them and, you know, support one and oppose the other. The other thing is, going back to our revolutionary period, pre-revolution in 1774 in Massachusetts, the farmers, in challenging King George III, started committees of correspondence. And they're very informal. There was no chair, but it was a way to bring them together toward a common goal. And we ought to do that now. We ought to, in San Francisco and elsewhere, just start committees of correspondence, take your issue, whatever your issue is, whether it's civil liberties or empire or, you know, water, whatever, take your issue that is being blocked by corporations who have their hooks into the politicians with their money, and form a committee correspondence and watch the reaction when you have left-right contacting your member of Congress. A completely different dynamic that operates. That's why I called the book Unstoppable, the emerging left-right alliance to dismantle the corporate state. I mean, the opposition of libertarians to the bailouts of Wall Street, I mean, the energy that they bring to it, along with progressives, it's unstoppable.
What were the major changes you've seen? I mean, you lead your book with concrete examples from the 80s when left-right coalitions stopped an over-budget nuclear reactor project.
Yeah.
And then you talk about coalitions to rein in the NSA. But talk a little bit about the major differences between that time, the 80s, and today.
Well, the major difference is the corporations are more powerful. The global corporations, globalization, global managed trade agreements, global corporate money into politics, the Koch brothers. I mean, it's just gotten so bad that the two parties in Congress are not as far apart on corporate power issues as they used to be. And because money is the leverager, and they're both dialing for the same commercial dollars. However, once, you remember a few months ago, Obama went to the Congress to get authority to intervene in Syria. The amount of emails that poured in left, right, in every congressional office, I was up there. They were saying they're coming in 60-1, 100-1, regardless of whether they're Republican or Democratic lawmakers. And it stopped that effort cold. People did not want another war in another Middle Eastern country with U.S. soldiers. And the second one that was quite interesting, and that at the trade agreement, the Pacific Rim trade agreement that Obama's negotiating now, if he cuts the deal with these nations, and it's like NAFTA on steroids in terms of disadvantaging the American people in contrast to U.S. multinationals, if he sends it to Congress, it's going to be blocked by an alliance of Republicans and Democrats in the House on fast track, against fast track procedure, defying their leaders, Speaker Boehner and Minority Leader Pelosi. See how it works?
Well, Pelosi recently said she's against TPP fast track.
Well, let's see, because she's got her finger to the wind. She's got a rebellion, but she wasn't against it with NAFTA, and she wasn't against it with the World Trade Organization under the Clinton administration. So that's even a better sign that the leadership are realizing they got a rebellion in their own ranks.
Well, and Ralph, because you have such an insider's perspective on Washington, and you have been involved for so many decades, you know, out here in the West, we're somewhat disconnected by it. And anytime we have someone on, I mean, we never end the show without talking about solutions. And they always say, contact your congressperson.
Yeah.
And then a lot of us kind of hit our heads against the wall. But, I mean, does that kind of thing really matter? I mean, what do you hear from politicians about their constituents? Because so many people feel that they're not being represented at all.
Anytime a million Americans contact their members of Congress on an identical issue in a two-week period, it's like a hurricane hitting Congress. That's how withdrawn the people are. So, you know, they've given up on themselves. They make excuses about why they don't have any power, even though the Constitution starts with we the people, not we the corporation. Even though American history shows that if 1% of the American people get really active on a direction or a reform that is supported by a majority of the people, more silently, reflecting what Abraham Lincoln called the public sentiment, it's almost enough to turn it around. Just 1%. We're not talking about the Wall Street 1%. We're talking about 3 million people being really connected in every congressional district, starting advocacy groups on their senators and representatives. No big deal. I mean, they face personal problems in life that are far more serious to overcome. Poverty, accidents, you know, on and on. They got to get used to saying to themselves, look, there are 24 hours in a day. I got to sleep, I got to work, I got to be with the family, I got to have some leisure time, but I also have to devote time to my civic responsibilities. That's the big discovery, that democracy works when we work it.
We're speaking with Ralph Nader. He's out with a new book called Unstoppable, The Emerging Left-Right Alliance to Dismantle the Corporate State. And I'm sure many of you have questions and comments for Ralph Nader, so I'll give out the phone number a little early today. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. What are your thoughts on a left-right alliance? If you're a libertarian or, well, the labels, I mean, if you, what are your thoughts on coming together with people from different backgrounds and different views? On what issues do you think you could find common ground? And do you think this is feasible given the realities that we're facing? I mean, this coming election is going to be the most expensive. We keep saying that now, Ralph. This one is the most expensive in U.S. history.
It can be the most expensive, but if people disregard those ads, it's all big money down the drain. And what we have to look at, it's already gone operational at the state level on juvenile justice reform, and now left-right people in legislatures in over a dozen states have passed laws reducing those ridiculous sentences for young people caught with an ounce of marijuana, usually minorities. And now they're taking a look, left-right legislators, on the war on drugs, on the whole prison system. That would never happen without a coalition of left-right. I'll give you an example from your state. There was a juvenile justice bill that passed under Jerry Brown, and Jerry Brown was for it. But you know what? He was looking for libertarian or conservative support. And so Reverend Robertson, you know, the TV, he showed his support with a conversation with the governor. In other words, either side takes the initiative. When they find that the other side is supporting them, it's unstoppable.
What do you see right now? I mean, when you talk to politicians about these issues, what are you hearing on Capitol Hill?
Well, this is a good point, because why we're not hearing a lot about this, because here's why. The left-right disagree on a lot of hot-button issues, and that's what gets the attention in Congress and the media. They disagree, let's say they disagree on reproductive rights, they disagree on gun control, they may disagree on immigration. So the focus is on where left-right, going all the way back to the grassroots and public opinion, where they disagree. Now, if you're part of the corporatist juggernaut that commands the heights of our political economy, big business over Washington, Wall Street over Washington, et cetera, and you're pumping money in campaigns in both parties, what's your strategy? Your strategy is to divide and rule the left and right, to make sure that they don't focus on the great areas that they already agree on. So that's why they push these issues off the political table, off the election table. And if we push back and we say, oh, no, you're not going to go through the country campaigning without talking about minimum wage, as both Obama and McCain did. They ignored it in 2008. You're not going to go around the country campaigning for president and not talk about the corporate crime wave and the need to be tough on corporate crime against consumers, against workers, against the environment, against savers and investors. So the idea is to get a sense of our own converging power, left-right, move it to more visible status, either by a demonstration, by rights, by marches, or by a coordinated meeting with your member of Congress. They were very, very impressed by a left-right invitation to meet, I can assure you that. And then move it into the media, and then get it on the table. That's the key. Once you get it on the table, the media covers it because the politicians are talking about it. So let's not let them divide and rule us, and let's move toward a whole series of power shifts from the few to the many, as well as a lot of betterment in terms of substantive policy. This is working out in California in solar energy, where you have trucks, as we speak, going up and down putting solar panels, right? I mean, that's creating more and more jobs. Well, guess what? The Koch brothers, representing oil and gas interests, see that solar energy is on the way to displacing fossil fuels. So they want to slow it down. So they're putting money and pressure in state legislatures, most recently in the South, to put a surtax on homeowners who are on a net metering, selling back the surplus solar energy to the electric utility. Now, the Koch brothers, big, powerful, they're worth $80 billion. Guess what? They're losing. Because Republican and Democrat in these legislatures, they like solar energy. There's no such thing as a Republican solar panel and a Democratic windmill. That's the power.
We have an email from Art about another left-right alliance in California. He says, AB 351 is a bill that passed almost unanimously in the California legislature last year, which said that California would not cooperate with the indefinite detention of any Californian as a result of the NDAA or any other federal bill. It was the result of a transpartisan coalition of libertarians and lefties working together.
Perfect. That's exactly. That's the civil liberties. On the Patriot Act, even the right-wing Texas State Republican Party platform of 2002 said the war on terrorism must never, never take away our civil liberties and freedoms. And they went after the Patriot Act with hammer and tong. This is Bush's own Republican Party. So there are the corporate Republicans dominating the conservative libertarian Republicans, because that's where they get the money, they're cushy with Wall Street, etc. But we outnumber them. We outnumber them. The eminent domain battle. Remember when the Supreme Court 5-4 said City of New London in Connecticut could raise, condemn a whole housing neighborhood and give it to Pfizer drug company? Well, right after that, 22 state legislatures, left-right coalition, immediately passed laws saying it's not going to happen in this state. When you condemn property, you got to condemn it for a public purpose, like a bridge or a school. You're not going to condemn it to give it to a giant corporation. See how fast it goes once it's together? That's why I call this book Unstoppable, the Emerging Left-Right Alliance to Dismantle the Corporate State.
Ralph, how would you deal with some of the more hardcore libertarians who, I mean, they oppose taxes, they oppose a minimum wage increase, they oppose abortion, and for women, this is really concerning, obviously. I mean, clinics are closing in Texas. People are really struggling on this issue. Yeah. So if you look at someone like a Rand Paul and think, well, you know, his policies on prisons and drugs are really good, but when you look at his reproductive issues, his reproductive views, they're horrific.
Or health and safety regulations.
So how do you deal with that?
It's like spouses disagreeing on things and agreeing on things. It's like our friends. We still work together even when we disagree on certain areas. You just put them aside. And you say, look, we disagree on A, B, C, D, and we're not going to come to an agreement anytime soon. But we happen to agree on W, X, Y, Z, and that's important for all the American people and their children and descendants and peace and environment and so forth. Now, even on climate change, I guarantee you, as the droughts, the floods, the hurricanes, the tornadoes increase, you're going to see a left-right coalition. Right now, the fossil fuel industry, big in Texas and elsewhere, and the corporate energy, nuclear power, they're propagandizing. It's a hoax. It's not man-made. Don't worry. There are always storms. But more and more you see, and there's a big White House report on it yesterday, more and more you'll see the evidence, and more you'll see people back home shed their ideological divide and say, holy smoke, we got to do something about this.
Well, NPR had a piece yesterday about the city of Wichita Falls in Texas. They have no choice but to turn to their toilets for water because they're just facing such a horrific drought there.
That's the kind of thing that will change anybody's mind. The point is that people are exploited throughout history by abstract generalities and principles. That's the way they are. Once you bring these principles down to where people live, work, eat, raise their kids, they become much more practical. They become ideological. There's no such thing as a right-wing opposition to flood control. It doesn't work. And that's why we have to really push for this major political realignment. I don't see anything in the next 10 years other than this kind of alliance to break the gridlock and the paralysis that the big corporations just love.
Ralph Nader is out with a new book, Unstoppable, The Emerging Left-Right Alliance to Dismantle the Corporate State. What are your thoughts on Ralph's ideas of the left and right coming together? And if you find disagreement with some of these people, you just set them aside and you figure out where you actually agree. So what are your thoughts on that? We actually have full lines. We'll have one open in a few minutes at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from Ed in Santa Cruz. Hi, Ed. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose and Ralph. I think the committee of correspondence that would be the most important would be one that would focus not on a particular issue like climate change or militarism or whatever, but would focus on the process of politics itself. Because I think we have a basic defect in our politics, which is that we've privatized public office. If a public office holder who's been elected by the public is talking about public business with somebody, the public should have a right to hear what's going on, what's being said. But we don't get to do that because all the important business takes place behind closed doors. The public is shut out. We don't know what's going on, who's making the deal, etc. Secondly, we don't have any right to hold, any power to hold them accountable in public, like bring them forward on a regular basis and question them on a real forum rather than a fake forum like news conference or town hall meeting where you get 1 minute to set out the problem and ask your question, and then the politician gets 15 minutes to spin the propagandistic answer.
Well, yeah, and in places where they have safe seats, sometimes they don't even debate. So, Ralph Nader, how would you deal with that? People want more dialogue and access to politicians, and they're not getting it.
Yeah, the caller's talking about democratic procedures. And, you know, we were very instrumental in getting the Freedom of Information Law at the federal level through in 1974. And now, I think in 50 states, including California, there is a state freedom of information. Well, that's a step forward. But as the caller implied, they just go backward into the smoke-filled room, as we used to call it in cigarette days. However, we can get a lot of information. The ACLU, Public Citizen, we're all getting a lot of information that the bureaucrats and the corporatists want to keep secret. But we have to keep going. I think some of the worst abuses are at the local level. I mean, people walk into town council's meeting, and they're often told, just shut up, sit down. And they don't know what their rights are in terms of saying, you can't do that to me. And we see that almost at a tyrannical level in some towns around the country. So now, I know there's a left-right agreement that big money in politics is bad and it corrupts and it nullifies both sides' votes on different issues. They haven't yet moved forward toward a proposal. They differ. They don't want, for example, the right doesn't want public financing, and the left doesn't want the present, just privatized system. So that's the next step. All this is in stages. First, you get the verbal agreement, then you make it visible, then you work on the proposals. Some of the opposition to, for example, bailouts of Wall Street, you don't need proposals. You just need to make sure the incumbents say no. The other thing is, important as elections are, we've got to recognize that when the left-right rumbles, when they hear in Washington the rumble from the people coming from left-right, it doesn't matter. They changed. They don't wait for elections. They change right in their seat in the Senate and the House. I've seen that happen on congressional pay grab and many other areas that aren't attributed so much to left-right because the powers that be don't want to give visibility to this because it is the new realignment. But the caller is making very important points that people get very discouraged by autocratic procedures and secrecy and decision-making between developers, local developers, and the mayor and the city council. We see that in Washington, and I'm sure you see plenty of that in California.
Yes, and just yesterday, actually, homeless mothers marched to City Hall to try to talk to our Mayor Ed Lee, and the door was shut, and so they said, open the door, to make a point about what people are facing in San Francisco. We're speaking today with Ralph Nader, author of the new book, Unstoppable, The Emerging Left-Right Alliance to Dismantle the Corporate State. He believes that it is time for people from all political walks of life to come together to solve our issues. What are your thoughts? We'll be back after this.
This is Local Public Radio, KALW San Francisco. Online, it's kalw.org.
Joe, the phone lines are rocking. People who want to talk to Ralph Nader this morning on your call. And we are asking you to join the public radio party because, like democracy, Public radio depends on participation. We're asking you to give your support at 800-525-9917 or KALW.org.
You've been listening to Rose's guest, Ralph Nader, on this morning's Your Call. For over 50 years, he's been fighting on the behalf of us, American citizens, against the reckless influence of corporations and their government patrons in our society. His latest book is called Unstoppable, and we have it as a thank you gift if you call and make a pledge this morning at the $120 level. The number is 800-525-9917. You can also pledge online and pick it. It's one of the thank you gifts listed on the website at KALW.org.
800-525-9917. And in this hour, we have a goal. 20 people joining KALW at 800-525-9917 or KALW.org. And if we make it to that goal, 20 calls or clicks, people getting involved at any level of support, Gregory and Julie Fowler, listeners just like you, will put up an additional $300 for local public radio. So far, a half dozen people have taken part, people like Jim Gilson in San Francisco and Sonny Willis in San Francisco, a new member, Joe, who says, my radio dial is permanently set at KALW. If you're like Sonny, you've been listening, you know the value of this station, but you have not become a member, now is a great time. 800-525-9917.
And take as a thank you gift this book from Ralph Nader, his latest effort. It's called Unstoppable. You will enjoy it. Talk to one of our phone volunteers, 800-525-9917, or click on our website, KALW.org.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we will speak with environmentalist Bruce Laurie, co-author of this really good book, Talks In, Talks Out, Getting Harmful Chemicals Out of Our Bodies and Our World. There are over 80,000 chemicals in products, including food. So what do we need to know about keeping ourselves protected? And then Friday, it's our media roundtable, and our guest will be The Guardian's Luke Harding, author of The Snowden Files. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are speaking with Ralph Nader. Salon says you can thank Ralph Nader for most every consumer or environmental regulation from the 60s onward. Name it, and it was probably proposed or designed by one of Ralph Nader's grassroots organizations or pushed into reality by an activist he trained or inspired. And at 80, he's still going strong with a new book called Unstoppable, The Emerging Left-Right Alliance to Dismantle the Corporate State. He says that if we get together, we can do everything from requiring an annual Department of Defense budget audit and corporate welfare, promote efficiency, and adjust the minimum wage to inflation. So what are your thoughts on this? You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Ralph, we have a listener comment question who says, what do you think of Senator Elizabeth Warren? And are there any other leaders on Capitol Hill you admire or at least think have the potential to be part of this coalition?
Yeah, as a challenger of Wall Street and the big banks, she's very good. And she's getting a lot of support because I think about 90% of the American people in this country are backing the breakup of the big banks who are determined to be too big to fail, the big New York banks. Because they see them fooling around with more speculation, more risk-taking, and the possibility of another collapse on the whole economy from the Wall Street boys. So she's taking them on, and I think one reason it's resonating is because she has a lot of left-right support. Senator Sherrod Brown's good. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse from Rhode Island is good. Senator Bernie Sanders. The problem is, the one thing they're not good at is creating coalitions inside the Senate in order to be a battering ram against the corporatists. The right-wing anti-civil rights Democrats years ago from the South were very effective in holding off the civil rights laws because they were very tightly organized, and they were a minority, but they were very tightly organized. And our side doesn't seem to know how to do that. I mean, I can't get a hold of Bernie Sanders. I've called him for a year and a half, even though I helped him in Vermont and spoke out for him before he was a senator, when he was mayor of Burlington. They're lone rangers. Hmm. They're complete lone rangers, and that's the problem.
What do you mean when you say that? You can't get a hold of him?
You don't know, because he doesn't network. It's just Bernie Sanders. He has very good policies, but he doesn't bring in, as other senators used to in the 60s and 70s, the leaders of citizen groups and network other senators You know, he's got a Lone Ranger mindset. And that doesn't get us very far. I mean, it's nice to hear his speeches and all, but it doesn't get us very far.
Why do you think that is, considering he has so much support?
I'm told, and I know people who know him in Vermont, it's a personality thing. That believe it or not, he's very shy.
Huh.
Well, once he gets on the stage, then he's a fiery speaker. He's not gregarious in that sense. That doesn't mean, you know, he won't campaign with Vermont farmers, and he'll do that for re-election. But unfortunately, we need someone like Ted Kennedy was. Ted Kennedy was a networker inside the Senate, not just a Lone Ranger.
Well, we've got a number of callers on the line, so let's go next to Ede in Berkeley. Hi, Ede. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. I'd like to thank Ralph for all what he has done in consumer aspects, and I'd like to thank him for exposing the real truth of the country. It is divided very much and is also occupied from within. It is occupied by the Wall Street, multinational corporations, the military-industrial complex, and really, we don't have a government anymore. This is government for the corporation, by corporation, and the people are just thrown to hell. I do want to bring an issue that really have been bothering me for many years. I always loved Ralph as fellow Arabic person from Lebanon, but I do still, and no defense he can give me, about his action in 2000 and 2008 regarding the election, because we knew the new cons, we knew Paul Wolfowitz's doctrine, we knew Pien Akers, and when he refused to concede to Gore is why we are having such a great mess. I lost $50 million in the last 20 years because of the action of these people. I'm not a small guy. I lost a lot of money. And Ralph, you really screwed us up all when you allowed George W. Bush in. That was the end of America forever.
Well, you got some good views at the beginning of your conversation, but you're factually inaccurate. George W. Bush stole the election. Gore won the popular vote. In what other country can you win the popular vote and come in second? That threw it into, because of the Electoral College, that threw it into Florida, which is clearly stolen from Gore. Gore has told me that he does not blame the Green Party. By the way, if we all have an equal right to run for election, which I'm sure you will agree, then either all of us are spoilers of everyone else because we're all trying to get votes from other candidates, or none of us are spoilers. We're not second-class citizens. Historically, small parties have never won an election, but they put on the table for the other two parties again and again the abolition of slavery, the women's right to vote, the regulation of big business, farmers, worker rights, all the way from the 19th into the 20th century. So rest assured, it was not the Green Party, quote, that spoiled the election. It was a terrible campaign by Al Gore, as many Democrats now say, who couldn't beat a blundering governor with a horrible record in Texas
in his own
state. The 2000 election.
In his own state, Al Gore couldn't win his own state.
Yeah, he couldn't win. If he won his own state, everything else being exactly what happened, he would have been in the White House. And of course, you have that political decision by the Supreme Court. That was not a judicial decision. That was a 5-4 Republican dominated decision that appointed Bush into the White House. By the way, Gore was at that time pushing a bigger military budget than George W. Bush. He wanted to topple Saddam Hussein because he and Clinton pushed a resolution through Congress in 1998 saying that we have to get rid of Saddam Hussein. So, you know, we're not talking about a peace advocate here.
And Ralph, I also read that you paid a pretty heavy price after that. The Democrats didn't invite you, for example, to testify on Capitol Hill about the issues you're so passionate about. What is it like 12 years later or 14 years later?
Well, it's not quite as bad. But imagine, you know, here I am offering to testify against bad Supreme Court nominees, bad corporate policy, and they block me from testifying. But they invite their corporate friends to testify before the Senate and the House. It's a bizarre thing. While the Democratic politicians will huddle all the time with corporatists, will ask money from corporate issues. I mean, Obama has set the all-time record in raising money from Wall Street and in presidential campaign. To show you one example, They don't like a challenge from the left in an election. They can't stand it. Actually, the Republicans are more tolerant. They didn't like Buchanan challenging Bush in 2000. But they're not as intolerant as the Democrats are. And it was, and of course, this just ruined the Democratic Party, because as they kept their head in the sand, they didn't raise the issues that we were raising that could have won them election after election. In 2010, 2012, for example, in the House of Representatives, they could have won if they listened to us and picked up the minimum wage for 30 million workers. They could have got a raise to over $10, which would have still been less than workers in 1968 inflation adjusted. Now they finally picked it up. Oh, they're talking minimum wage, 10-10 all over. Why'd they take so long? Because they're spending enormous time dialing for dollars from commercial interests who don't want a minimum wage increase.
Well, thank you for calling, Ead. We're speaking today with Ralph Nader about his new book, Unstoppable, The Emerging Left-Right Alliance to Dismantle the Corporate State. And let's go next to Mimi in Seaside. Hi, Mimi. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Yes, I wanted to make a couple points. And thank you, Mr. Nader, for everything that you do and everything you represent. But I had a couple of comments because one issue that I'm having is I have a parent that lives in a Superfund site. It's actually a former base, Fort Ord, that is now closed. It's actually one of the most contaminated areas in the nation. And when the community members complain about the different things going on in regards to, like, these burns they have to get rid of the unexploded munitions and things like that, and they create this smoke that actually has 2.5 or PM 2.5 that can get embedded into your lungs. When we complain, the EPA says their hands are tied. The local air district says their hands are tied. They can't do anything. They can only give guidelines to the Army in regards to what they're doing. And then, of course, local officials and the local media is like, oh, no, you know, the smoke looks like a volcano eruption, but, you know, it's completely safe to breathe. You know, the symptoms will go away in a couple of days. And yet there's been no studies in regards to, you know, prior to them starting this process. But it's like almost like the local officials and the developers that are coming in that want to turn this base into the next Atlantic City seem to have more power than the people here that are suffering from some of the effects of this.
Well, that happens all over the country, which is why it gave rise to a very important grassroots group led by Lois Gibbs, who came out of the Love Canal contamination tragedy in Niagara Falls, New York, and became a national leader. And she has chapters all over the country. And her group is right near Washington, D.C. It's called, I think, the Center for Health and Environment. Look her up, Lois Gibbs, G-I-B-B-S, and ask for her help. She has people all over the country. Tell her I suggested that you call her. This is really a left-right alliance. I mean, when families in neighborhoods, some are Republican, some Democrat, you know, the usual, libertarian, conservative, when they are exposed to a toxic dump that's contaminating their water, infecting their children, you think they're worried about ideology?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about this when we do shows about fracking, because this is bringing a lot of ranchers and farmers together with environmentalists who oppose fracking, and the same with Keystone, I mean, especially in places like Oklahoma and Texas. So we're seeing these alliances, and we talk about them here, but they don't really get that much national media attention.
They don't, because people get discouraged. They see they agree with each other across the aisle, and then it suddenly doesn't happen. You got to put stamina behind it. You got to make it visible. You got to start rumbling. You got to start roaring. Then you get the media. The media likes, you know, starting stories with a strange group of bedfellows today got together.
You know? That's so true.
They do like that. We haven't talked about a lot of issues, but here's one. Corporate marketeers now for years are getting more brazen in direct commercial marketing to kids, bypassing, undermining parental authority. What are they selling to these kids? Carrots? Celery? Apples? No. They're selling junk food, junk drink, more obesity, more diabetes, and then they're smothering them with these violent programming and trying to get them to be interactive. This is what I call electronic child molesters. And you'll get 95% of all parents, no matter what label they put on themselves politically, opposed to this. Okay, if that's the case, why don't they start going operational? Because they're too focused on where they're divided instead of where they're united.
Ralph Nader is author of Unstoppable, the Emerging Left-Right Alliance to Dismantle the Corporate State. In the book, he's got an interesting story about Ralph. When you gave a talk about that specific issue to an audience who probably disagrees with you on most issues, but on this one, they agree.
Yeah, these were an audience of evangelical Christians. And I could see, as I was talking about it, I could see them saying, yeah, they're doing that to my child. They're doing that to my grandchild. So, you know, what culture in the world would ever allow a subculture of commercial meanness to go after our kids and expose them to all these dangers to their body and to their mind? I mean, come on. You know, this book is written for readers who are thinkers and who are doers and who are serious about the future of our country and the world. We need to focus on seriousness. There's so much entertainment, you know, radio, TV, cable, you know, all these video games and all these gadgets. It's entertainment. It's entertainment. It's ads. It's entertainment. They've got us completely surrounded. They're separating parents from their children. This is contrary to the most biblical principles. Or take any religion. Every major religion in the world warned its adherents not to give too much power to the merchant class, then, to the commercial interests, because they're so single-minded. They'll run roughshod or destroy or sidestep much more important civic values for a humane civilization that thinks about its posterity, not only about the present day.
Let's hear next from Meg in Salinas. Hi, Meg. Thanks for holding.
Sure. Thank you. Good morning. And Rose, again, another great program. And Mr. Nader, thank you. It's nice to have to hear you on the radio. Thanks for all the work you've done. You know, this whole conversation, you're talking about all the issues that we have in common as, you know, what I call basically the grassroots, all of those who do not have access to power. Well, actually, we do have access to that power, but it's about creating those alliances. And, you know, when I think about the Tea Party started out as a group that was very much organized, what you're saying. And then again, the Republican Party came in and they took over the Tea Party. And they
That's very good insight. Yep.
Yeah, right-wing, fringed, and then it was all over the place. And they took that very name and they used it quite successfully for a long time, destroyed the Republicans, but they've done that. And so, you know, one of the points I want to bring out is I hear you talking about a lot of different things that are you know, very important, but most people do not realize that the majority of the problems are right in their own backyard. They're at the local level. Most people are hijacked by the story that's on the television set, whether it's like CNN still looking for an airplane in the ocean for over a month now, and they're not paying attention to what's happening, as the woman who called in talking about Fort Ord. They don't realize that it's an alliance that goes on between the media, between money, developers, and others, and between their own politicians who are elected. And they don't know that they need to have a voice at a local level as opposed to just constantly watching what's going on at the national level and whether or not somebody gets elected in another state, which is important. But these people are being fed from local politics up to the next level, into the next level, and all the way up to Washington, D.C. And they're not getting involved with who their elected officials are until their elected officials are now sitting in Washington, D.C.
Well,
and
part
that's a big problem.
Part of it starts in the schools. Our children are not taught practical civics. They're not given civic experience, connecting schools to community under adult supervision. They don't learn civic skills. High schools should teach every student how to use the Free Information Act to get information from government. Very few high schools do that. My high school does, for obvious reasons. But the important thing is, if we start early, where these children are idealistic, they ask impertinent and wonderful questions, and get them motivated, then when they grow up, they won't exhibit the kind of symptoms that you've been describing. But we have to give more examples to give people more heart and morale. How many of you know that Ron Paul and Barney Frank teamed up in the House of Representatives to to start a caucus challenging the bloated military budget. You see, now that was given very little publicity, but can you imagine? Very liberal Barney Frank from Massachusetts, libertarian Republican Ron Paul, they were right on the same page, and they worked again and again, but the media didn't cover it. Now, this gets to the media. Mm. Now, here's where there's a great liberal conservative alliance, but it's very latent, and that is in all the commons, all the property that the people own, the public lands, the public airwaves, all the research and development from the taxpayers that started or expanded the aerospace industry, pharmaceutical industry, biotech industry, computer and internet industry, containerization industry. You wouldn't see those industries where they are now without taxpayer money. But we don't get anything in return for this. The natural resource companies, oil, timber, control the public lands, and the media commercial giants control the public airways, and they use our property free without any payment and decide who says what and who doesn't. Why don't we start demanding that since we own the commons, we should have some control over it. We should have a decent payment for the minerals that are being mined. Corporations can find gold on public land, as they did in Nevada. Canadian corporation found $9 billion with a B of gold, and they got they owned it for $30,000 because under an 1872 Mining Act, still in the books, all you got to do is discover gold on public land, go to the Department of Interior. They say how many acres you want. You say 2,000. They say that's $5 an acre. You see? So we have to raise our expectation levels. The way people are controlled is they keep people's expectation levels so low that it breeds cynicism and withdrawal from politics. You withdraw from politics, you pay the price.
Yeah, I love that, raising expectations. Ralph, we have just about 3 minutes left, and I just want to ask you two questions quickly. You had an interesting conversation with someone at the Cato Institute who was all in agreement with you about things like cutting the military budget, reforming prison laws. It's so interesting when you look at just such the range of Republicans in office right now with the Tea Party and how much control they have.
Yeah.
What's in store for the Republican Party in the coming years? I mean, they're really infighting right now.
Well, if the Democrats knew how to stand for the people on all these issues, they would landslide the Republican Party. The Republican Party has passed 65 bills through the House that would poll maybe 15% of the people. Mm. Anti-child, anti-woman, anti-environment, pro-Wall Street, pro-big business, pro-monopoly. I mean, it's unbelievable that the Democrats, because they're so busy dialing for the same commercial campaign dollars, don't want to take advantage of this. And they say, oh, it's gerrymander. It's a, come on. Once you get a 10% switch of the voters, it doesn't matter what the gerrymander is. That's a 20% spread. You can win.
And Ralph, we have just about a minute left. If you don't mind me mentioning your age, do you mind me mentioning?
No, it's 80.
Okay, you're 80.
Yeah.
How do you maintain your optimism? And at 80, how do you keep going? I mean, are you eating
a thirst for justice. If you can't stand injustice, you have a thirst for justice. As Senator Daniel Webster once said, justice is a great work of human beings on earth. Without justice, you don't have freedom and liberty worth talking about. I like the idea that Nixon signed all these consumer environmental laws in the early 70s because he heard the rumble from the people. He hated the laws. He signed them with a flourish. He heard the rumble from the people. So rumble, people. If you want an autographed copy of the book, go to Nader.org. You'll get an autographed copy, and you can give it to a friend or a library and start a discussion.
All right. Well, Ralph Nader, thank you so much for joining us. And we hope you'll be back when you're, what, 82? Are you going to write another book?
Well, hail to public radio.
All right. Stay healthy. Thank you. Yeah. Ralph Nader is the author of Unstoppable, the Emerging Left-Right Alliance to Dismantle the Corporate State. And he says he's still able to go strong and remain optimistic because he has a thirst for justice. I like that. A thirst for justice. In the book, he says that if the left and the right come together, we can do things like raise the minimum wage, promote efficiency in government and corporate welfare and bailouts, and require an annual Department of Defense budget audit. Ralph Nader is author of Unstoppable, the Emerging Left-Right Alliance. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call, and thank you for listening. And And I am joined in studio by Holly Kernan, co-host of Your Call and news director over at Cross Currents. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Rose. Wow, that was so inspiring. That was amazing to hear this octogenarian still with that fight. Rumble, people, rumble. Yeah. That was just amazing. And we're here celebrating public radio and all of these voices and this way, you know, this solutions-oriented kind of journalism that asks people to call in, ask questions, give us their insight. Right now, we have just 2 minutes, I believe, in this break to ask people to become members of this public radio station. You can do it by calling 800-525-9917 or go to KALW.org. The phones have been ringing off the hook to talk to Ralph. Now we want them to ring off the hook to support public radio, Rose.
800-525-9917. We've had such a good morning so far. Thank you for all of your support. We are celebrating independent public radio, so we can talk about things like what it would be like to audit the Department of Defense budget. What would it look like to end corporate welfare? Those are the kinds of conversations that we have on KALW. And by calling 800-525-9917, you are keeping that going. You can also go online to KALW.org.
And this radio station is independent because of your support. We are halfway to our goal of this hour. We have 2 minutes to make 10 more calls. Either call 1-800-525-9917 or go to KALW.org for a $120 contribution. We will send you Unstoppable, Ralph Nader's new book, Unstoppable, the Emerging Left-Right Alliance to Dismantle the Corporate State. And it's all about how we can come together, and we are powerful when we do that. And that's what we're celebrating here at KALW during this party, is how powerful we can be when we come together. So we're asking you to join us by going to KALW.org or call us.
800-525-9917. The phones are ringing. Thank you so much for your support. You can also go
online. One open phone line, Rose.
An open phone line. 800-525-9917. We're getting a lot of good response online about the no interruption drive. We are not cutting into programming at all. Right now, you'd be hearing credits. Instead, you're hearing us saying, join us in celebrating independent public radio. 800-525-9917 for $120 contribution. We will send you Ralph Nader's new book about the emerging left-right alliance. You can also go online, KALW.org, and we will not sell or share your personal information.
And if we get to that 20 calls or clicks, we just have 2 minutes to do that. Julie and Gregory Fowler in Mountain View have given an additional $300 to KALW if we can get you to go to KALW.org and contribute whatever works for your budget. Every single person contributing what they can is how we do this. Or they can go to the phones. We do have an open line.
We have an open line at 800-525-9917. Some people are joining us at the new member level at $50. Some are giving $1 a day, $1,000 if you can afford it. Whatever you can afford, you are helping us make our goal and keeping public radio available for everyone.
And get this book, Unstoppable by Ralph Nader. Give it to your mom for Mother's Day, your dad for Father's Day, the Emerging Left-Right Alliance to Dismantle the Corporate State. $120 contribution or above. People are calling in, Rose, with a $50 contribution, a $500 contribution. The average is about $100. Whatever works for your budget, go to KALW.org.
KALW.org. Or give us a call at 800-525-9917. Every day on Your Call, we bring on a wide range of voices and talk about these really important issues. And we promised ourselves years ago, it has been years, to never end a show without talking about solutions. And I love what Ralph Nader said about raising expectations, because we really need to raise our expectations. And raise your expectations by demanding really good media, and do that by supporting KALW, 800-525-9917.
This station is independent because of people like you calling 1-800-525-9917. I think we're five people away from making this $300 challenge. We can do it because that's what we do every day on Your Call. We do this together, Rose. People call in. They make the show great. You make this station great when you call 1-800-525-9917 or go online to KALW.org.
KALW.org. Thanks to all of you who have called in or clicked to support independent public radio, KALW.org, or you can give us a call at 800-525-9917. Thanks for your support. You're listening to KALW San Francisco.
Thank you.